The LSJ, Miller Lite, and boobies.
One out of three of those things is good. One out of three, and it's definitely the last one.
Why are you dunking on Miller Lite like that?
No, we dunk on Miller Lites in here. Well, we
know Ryan's
an ass.
Yep.
I know. I said the boobies are the good ones.
I thought you were talking about the LSJ.
No,
no. The LSJ because you love PI cars.
Yeah. I hate PI cars.
Anywho, welcome to the Power Hour.
You're the guy.
No, it's number 184.
184.
Yeah.
Yep.
Come on, you're the guy. What are you?
You're always acting like the host.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, you're right. I'm not trying to.
I don't know what everybody's talking about. I've been here all day.
You have not. You've been here like 2 seconds.
I've been here all day waiting on you guys.
Oh, okay.
And you'll notice Tim's out of breath. For
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us for the ZZP Power Hour. It's the end of February, which is fantastic because that means spring is right around the corner.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank
the spring God. Equinox right around the corner.
We don't drive Equinoxes here.
Well, no. We do not drive Equinoxes because they're all direct injected, which happens to be what we're talking about today. But before
we start,
Ryan Derrick gets off on his rant, I'm going to talk about a new product that's hitting the website next week.
Mm-hmm.
This little guy right here.
Is that what I think it is?
See this little guy? That's an aluminum thermostat housing.
What in the
cream? For the port injected.
1.4.
1.4 liter.
I'm sure it needs it.
And it has a mechanically actuated thermostat.
Yeah.
Yes, no more electric assist.
Yeah.
Swappable. Like you want 185 million degree thermostat. You can swap it into.
Why would you want that?
It's super cool because it uses our 3800 thermostat.
Yes.
So you can get different.
Yeah, so.
Which I think we have 160, 180, 192,
210.
And 210.
210, yeah.
Like,
yep.
So, what temp do you want it to run at?
So, 1.4, guys, if there's anybody in the chat, chime up. But. We all know that, obviously, everything that GM bolted to the 1.4 was garbage. We had a previous aluminum thermostat, which is great. Replacing plastic with aluminum is good, but we wanted to make it better. So we ground up, made this new one, and we used the... It's a word.
PI drivers. PI owners.
The old trusty 3800 parts, always coming back to them.
Yep.
But it's a mechanical thermostat. Replaceable. You can choose your degrees that you want it to open at. We're going to offer it initially with the 192, I believe, but that'll be hitting the website next week, so look out for that.
Much excited.
And then after we talked about that, we're going to move on to what we're talking about today.
I'm so excited.
If you don't know, direct injection was created by the devil.
It is God's gift to the car market.
Oh, man.
And us as owners, praise be to the LNF. You may bow down before our glory. Matt Meekos in the chat. I see you, Matt. Shout out to you. Matt is here to debunk all these PI owners. He's ready. We're ready. I'm here. Ryan. Oh, you got Ryan D as ZCP. Oh. Randy O with the flow. Tyler V. Come and give you the D, and then Tim Beek, and Tim Beek,
man.
Turbo Tim, ready to cough up some phlegm. Let me fucking go, boys.
That's
I think you missed the
rhymes.
Thing to where Tyler's last name starts with a V.
I did. Yeah. No, I said a that's V. What I. That's what I said. He's the V is give. Oh, you didn't
oh,
like
yeah,
that
yeah,
last
yeah.
one.
Give him the V.
Why would he give him the V? What
I don't know.
Why? I made it good. What do you, Tim? Do not deny that I made it flow good, dog. Come on, that's what I'm here for.
Anywho, talking about fueling.
Man. Yeah. So, like I said, direct injected was created by the devil.
So I'm gonna take this over because Tyler's just over here flippity flopping in around and stuff like that. So
no,
guys.
No.
The future is direct injection. And our platforms that we work on that are DI, number one, we have God's gift to the Cobalts that made the best ever, the LNF.
Yep.
We have the LTGs.
Yep.
We have the LF4 and LF3.
Yep.
And then we also have the LE2.
We do.
All cars that weren't on DI.
And the L3B.
And
oh,
the L3B.
That's right, the new L3B. Yeah. That's our new Colorado 2.7 platform.
Big block.
Big block.
DI the world, ladies and gentlemen.
So this is, we fight about this.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yep.
It's a fun fight.
It is a fun fight.
And it's all love, and it's mostly data driven. Mostly data driven. DI cars are great.
Yeah.
I love my DI car.
In stock form.
I was getting there, yeah. So DI cars are fantastic until you run out.
Yeah.
Because you run out of fuel, man. Furl.
But then, okay, all right.
And
so,
then the actual Lord and Savior shows up. Port injection.
Yeah.
Wait.
Before you get too far,
Matt. This is why I needed you. I'll see you out there. Let's get him, Matt.
So I like where you went with that. The brand new Chevy Corvette ZR1X that makes 1,250 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
The DI is supplemented with something that I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't know. We talk about 1,000 horsepower cars here.
Oh wait. Maybe the Ford Raptor with the 3.5 is also supplemented with maybe the
Lord and Savior port injector.
I see that. I mean, so is a 200 horsepower BRZ. But so, what are you bragging about here?
So all the good cars have it.
Oh, that's a good car now? Oh, I see. All right.
So to play the devil's advocate for this podcast, DI is great. It is fantastic.
It is.
Like LE2's, like,
except for the LTG.
Yeah, the LTG is not ideal.
Hold on. Let me tell you. Okay, guys. Just to give everyone context of what we're kind of going after. So, direct injection. Obviously, so just so everyone has a baseline of what we're talking about. Direct injection.
Ethan Ving has a RAV4 that has both. I don't know what that says, but...
I don't know what that means. All right, whatever. direct injection is essentially when the fuel injectors are going straight into the combustion chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Versus port injection is where you have them usually typically, not all the time, but typically how it's set up is they're above the intake manifold where they're spray into the actual head. Go down from there.
Hits the valve.
Hits the valves. Yep. All that stuff. Mm-hmm. Goes down. The combustion cycle continues. Now, what's great about DI is that it's variable in a lot of ways and allows a lot more fuel system in stock form from that. So you can, first of all, you can run a lot, usually a lot of timing, cools things down pretty well. It's very precise. You get a lot more power from just tuning alone.
Extremely precise.
Yeah.
Yeah, the injection window is milliseconds.
Well, yeah. So, you literally went from a fire hose that would spray on the back of something, and then the valve would open, and it'd just go, sure, I'll take all that.
Yeah, it's way more precise than port.
To now you're like, oh, here comes the bang.
Yeah.
On our platforms, a port-injected car is generally around 58 PSI. Of fuel pressure, where a DI car is more like 3,000.
Yeah, like a Wabatha, thought you can see upwards of 25 to.
And the reason it's 3,000 is because it's having to spray into the combustion chamber. Your window of injection is so much smaller.
Oh, milliseconds.
Yeah. So much smaller. Like if you're spraying into the intake manifold, you have all kinds of time to spray the fuel because, like Tyler said, like it just puddles up on top of the intake valve until the intake valve opens.
Yeah. So with that comes, you know, the negative of DI is that usually your intake valves get a little dirty.
You get valve coating,
all the carbon buildup, things like that. Obviously, combustion chamber open, all
port
that
injection
stuff.
Keeps your intake valves clean.
It does keep the intake valves clean.
So for people who may not know, the reason that intake valves get coked up is every single engine, whether it's brand new or 100,000 miles, they are all going to ingest a little oil from just the whole combustion track. So that oil is going to grab on to that little shaft there. It's like a little pole dancer, you know, except it hangs around. After a while, you get old and you can't move as fast. So it hangs out there. Whereas in PI, that fire hose is spraying on it and it's going to wash it back down. So that's where you get the valve coking from.
Yep. It's a trade. It's good and bad. And then it is definitely a trade because I think there was a test done on some BMW at some point where he had the valve coking over a 7 months. It's like 100,000 miles.
It's
in
a
car.
Long time.
And so he died of the car every year consistently. The car lost, like, in total amongst like 10 years, like, it was like 15 horsepower or so. Yeah. He wanted to blast it, someone's, and it all came back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's something that, you know, it's a little more maintenance on that.
It was very neat. To elaborate a little bit on what Ryan said, this guy bought an M3. He dynoed it. He drove it a calendar year. He dynoed it again. It lost like 15 wheel. He drove it another year, lost another 15 wheel. Drove it another year, lost another 15 wheel. I'm paraphrasing, but like,
yeah,
he walnut blasted it, gained all of it back.
Yeah. Because you've got all that stuff hanging out, and the valve isn't able to close as fully as it once was. So you lose a little bit of compression, you lose a little bit of leak down, you know.
You've got a couple thousand degrees of exhaust, of combustion happening.
Yeah.
This intake valve is hot. You have all this, like, leftovers. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it leftovers. Like, you have this leftovers in there. The intake valve opens. The leftovers collect on the backside of the intake valve and just melt onto it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there to wash that off.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where the PI cars...
It does.
They get washed.
So, with that happening, again, like, that is a negative of DI. Mm-hmm. But usually, depending on the car, obviously we have some cars that are not all like this, you can usually push a DI system fairly far, mm-hmm. you know, for what you do in many stock forms. When you start pushing power, things kind of start balancing out a little bit. And then also, too, with a DI car, you have additional components.
Mm-hmm.
High-pressure fuel pump.
Yep.
So high-pressure fuel pump, basically, so it's kind of multiplying. I know Matt will be here if I say something correctly, but essentially, usually, like for an LNF, you have 60 PSI on the low-pressure side, and then that gets multiplied infinitely, you know, on
2,500 to 3,000.
Yeah, to like 3, like, yeah. The LNF idles between 300 to 700,
yeah.
PSI.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll get to this because we're going to talk about all of our different platforms and kind of how far you can take it. But just think about taking 60 PSI of fluid fuel pressure.
That's a mm-hmm. lot.
And then compressing that
even more
to 3,000 PSI. And that's why direct injection components are so expensive, mm-hmm. especially to upgrade them from stock. Because, you know, as we always talk about, OEMs spend millions of dollars on everything when it comes to their vehicles. So they've already, you know, dialed it in to 99%. And then the aftermarket has to take it another 0.1 or 0.5 or whatever it might be. But the tolerances you have to deal with are so tight. It's not like an LSJ where you can just put a hog ass fuel pump on it and some giant fire hoses. Mm-hmm. But on what you guys are saying, the drivability is world better.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You throw 1300 CC injectors in an LSJ,
it's gonna drive
great.
Like not super great.
Yeah,
exactly.
It'll rip.
I mean, let's talk about the 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you have a 1.4. Let's use mine for an example. Randy's, you know, as well. Like, it's a 1.4 liter engine.
Yeah.
This needs
cylinders
to idle.
This, big.
This thing sips on fuel at idle.
Yep.
And then Randy and I are like, we want to make power with this 1.4.
We want to quadruple it.
Randy's got what, 1050s?
1350s.
Yeah. I have like 60s, and my 60s are so beyond max.
Yeah.
At like my 390 wheel. Like, they're so beyond max. Randy's are like, Randy's car is happy. My car is like, it's struggling. Like, so you have a 60 pound injector that you need to pulse just enough to make this thing freaking idle, but yet make 400 wheel pretty much. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it goes from a drip to a water hose.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to, you know, your, let's say 80%+, you know, injector duty cycle on port cars, it's pretty much a fire hose.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot of fuel coming in there. So, and that's one of the things that with the IFRS on the LE2, which is, it even surprised the crap out of me. On LE2, you can run a flex fuel on a factory fuel system. That still surprised me.
I'm
like, that is what, who, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the LE2 is definitely one of the engines I'm most impressed with in stock form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a very underwhelming car stock, but like, has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Like, with our, we've had a what turbo do we put on it? The GBC, whatever, on ours.
We're
playing with it.
Yeah.
Like, we threw a GBC turbo on it, and like, the stock fuel system's fine. 100% E85, fine. Right. Yeah. Cold weather, fine.
On the Z04, on the manual car we just did. Still a side field. You just literally, it's, I would say it's probably the only platform we have. Maybe LHU specifically too, can also run it in factory form since that's a larger injector in it, but it just runs.
A little bit.
Yeah.
We still ran into limits with that engine.
Yeah.
We still have port injection on the LHU. Well, I'm talking about LHU.
It's stock form. Like a stock turbo. Yeah, you can just put a stock form, put a flex kit on there, and it works.
Yeah.
You know, even on the LNF, you have to supplement it in some way.
So, yeah, you have to do something, and it's not inexpensive.
Yeah. So, and that kind of gets to the next point. We'll go through the platforms, but so something that obviously with the additional components of a direct injection car, you do have things you have to do to get more fuel pressure. So it's not as, while sometimes on like an LSJ, for instance, or any port injected car, it's just
3,800,
3,800, whatever. Yep. You can easily just get larger injectors.
Yeah.
They're not cheap per se. Like, again, a set of six of 3,800 injectors is still like $400.
Yeah, but that's not $1,500.
Or $2,000.
Yeah.
Well,
man,
for our fuel can, though, our fuel can is $250.
Yeah.
But it's the labor.
You
and
have
the time
to retime the engine to do it.
Yeah. I'm not denying that.
I love DI. Like I don't know. Like DI port injection. Like I'm in the middle here. I think I prefer port injection a little more. Even though over 50% of my vehicles are DI.
You have one DI car.
Yeah, I have one port injected car, and that's my Sonic. All the others are DI. But like, it is ridiculously expensive to upgrade a DI car fuel system.
Yeah.
Number one, okay, let's talk about it. So you have, generally, from my experience with the LF4, the ATSVs and V-Sports, the first thing you need to upgrade is the high-pressure side.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now you have this high-pressure pump, which is hundreds of dollars stock, and you have to upgrade it. We have like what the AutoTech, which is basically I'm going to oversimplify it, but it's a larger piston and sleeve for the stock pump.
Larger internals for the DS.
It's not a stroker. It's just a bigger bore piston for the stock pump.
Big bore.
And it works great until it freaking doesn't.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
they
get
cocked in the bore and the like. Well, again,
the tolerances.
The tolerances. And people don't understand that, especially when you're running ethanol, that is not a lubricious fuel.
No. E85 is not slippery.
There is alcohol in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you put that in between metal, it's going to wear and wear poorly. So.
Yep. You have your high pressure pump. So we have the AutoTech fuel pump. And then we had the XDI fuel pump, which is basically just a AutoTech installed by XDI.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's like you have this AutoTech pump that you can install yourself, which is pretty labor intensive, but you can do it yourself.
Yep.
And then you have this XDI like bolt-on unit to where they do it themselves. But neither one of them are 100% reliable.
No.
Like, when you get into high pressure pumps, like there is no reliable option, which is very frustrating. And I have DI cars and I want that reliable option.
Now, I'll say that's a very particular problem for you, one of your particular cars, which every car does have.
Yeah.
I will say
DI cars.
I will say that, and that's all I'm going to get into. So we talk about, and so this is where we're going to get started getting the fun combat stuff.
Okay.
So we talk about the cost of making a high horsepower in that cars. So I would bargain to say that the cost up front is higher, but the cost in the long run is the same. Let's look at an LSJ and LNF.
Okay.
You're doing two big turbo kits on the cars. If you're gonna make power, what are you putting in an LSJ? You're putting cams in. You have to do the same exact thing. It's just at an earlier point. Okay, well, in that case, Matt was on stock DI injectors for making 716.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not take exception with
some port injection. Yep.
Yep. I mean, he made over 600 on without it. So, I mean, and that's I'm saying like there's exceptions to the rules. So on LSJ LNF, you're gonna go cams anyway. So on LNF, you gotta go a little bit sooner, but you only have to upgrade the injectors maybe once. Even so, you don't really have to. You can stick on the stock LNF injectors the entire time if you really wanted to, but the opals are just a better option. But you're going to do cans because you have to do cans. But you can stay on that hot stock, high pressure fuel pump the entire time and have that OEM reliability. You're
I saw that.
Yeah, I did. I'm going to get crushed. And then low side for these cars.
Yep.
Everyone upgrades their low side. That is something that's going to
all
happen.
Of us need low side.
Upgrades. All of us need low side. Mm-hmm. So, like, me and Matt talk about it quite a bit. Like, people on the Cobalt forums, they stick to this thing. Oh, they're on the front side of fuel. Where? When? Mm-hmm. What fuel? Like, we have come up with everything you need to make all the power you want. Make it a 500 horsepower LNF, which with VVT and DI has a better power band than this peaky LSJ car. Yeah. Like, that's undeniable. With DI cars, you get better power bands, and it costs the same.
It's more the cam phasing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
the cam phasing of the LNF is
it's more,
the
but
magic.
The DI helps.
And you know what? And like, I will never down talk an LNF. An LNF, I think, is probably one of the best four cylinders ever made.
Correct.
Ever.
Correct.
And that's not me being biased by working
at
CCP.
It's so good. It's amazing.
Like, GM really.
Well, they knocked it out of the park.
They
failed after. They didn't fail after that. They,
man.
They stepped down.
I would drink an LNF's bathwater. I'll drink an LNF bathwater right now.
I can't say I wouldn't either. The LNF, like,
it's so
GM
good.
Came up with this LNF engine, which GM probably didn't. They probably bought it from somebody else, yeah, like, honestly. But, like,
it's an Opel thing.
There was an LNF engine made,
yep.
And it was the best four-cylinder ever made.
Mm-hmm. But it's so weird. What's crazy?
Like, and you Honda guys? I got a finger for you. Oh, yeah. I can't show it right now, but you know what that finger is. Yeah, it's Randy's finger.
But dude, the LNF, it's such a weird engine, though. It doesn't work on airflow. It does, but to say, like, it doesn't make power from more airflow. It makes power from efficiency. It's so weird. That's why, I don't know if you guys ever know, if you port an LNF head, you lose like 80 horsepower.
Yeah.
Like, or if you port it, we know exactly the right amount.
Man,
for it.
Science can be a problem. Science can be a problem.
Crazy, and I love it.
The LNF engine was amazing, and I don't know how GM came up with the LTG after the LNF. They
cut costs. I don't
understand what happened there.
Yeah.
But
So okay. So Tim, on your second. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So, like, for reliability's sake, PI wins 100%.
Disagree.
Not argue. You can't argue.
No, you can't. Make four. Cost of making 350 to 400 on an LNF right now.
Ooh, I don't know what the cost breakdown is.
Yeah, it's
and you know what? I'm not gonna fight that one because the LNF, like I said, is the best engine.
Super reliable.
Best four cylinder engine ever made.
Making that power on an LNF versus an LSJ, you can use almost all stock components and put a bolt on turbo in there and you're done. And that's it. You're making the power.
With Matt's EVAT port fifth injector, that is a magical engine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's even
that
better.
Is like second to nothing.
It's even better. Yep.
Like second to nothing. But when it comes to the LTGs and the LF4s and the LF3s, holy crap, reliability gone.
Yeah. I will
say, you want to upgrade your DI system, reliability gone.
Yep.
The only way to keep it reliable is to run in like some kind of auxiliary PI injection and add that to it.
Which
we sell, but like
I'll say we do have to kind of look at it from under an umbrella. The LF3 and LF4 kind of make a lot of power for what they do with just the tune. You kind of do make a lot of power.
Yeah.
Like,
but Tim runs into this often is the stock fuel system cannot go any farther, even on 93.
Yeah.
Not even going to ethanol.
I
feel
like that's
a
GM problem.
This is
a good tune maxes the fuel system on an LF3, LF4 car.
On gas. Yes.
Now, there's going to be some people that are going to get in here and be like, not true. If you go max effort from idle to peak RPM, it maxes the fuel system. Can you ramp the power to not run out of fuel system? Yes, you can,
sure,
but that's stupid.
Peak torque is where the fuel system is demanded the most.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's kind of wild that, you know, coming from the LNF and the LTG and even really any of the other smaller DI engines, you can go farther than stock. You can go quite a bit farther on gasoline, and then you get into E85 and
you need more fuel system
but
at that point.
The ATS-V was literally on the edge.
Yeah.
Yes.
So where GM was just like, That's all she got, bud. Yeah.
Well, like, but again,
and then they put the engine in the CT4, and they were like, same thing. That's all we got.
Same thing.
That's all we got.
What is that? It is strange, though. It, again, I try to be very, you know, rose-colored glass with it. But it's like one of the things that, like, how far can you really go on stock injectors in any other PI car?
Oh, I mean, but no, injectors are cheap.
I'm not arguing the cross on this. I'm just saying, like, that's
no PI car is going very far on stock injectors.
And we're pushing the LF4 and LF3 100 over stock at minimum.
Yep.
60 to 100.
Yeah,
60 to 100 on pretty much stock everything. Like, for you have to upgrade that to gain like another 23,
but it costs thousands.
I don't disagree. I cannot argue the cost on that.
Yeah,
but it, like, the cost on the DI part is way higher.
I think probably from a customer standpoint, though, when you look at it from their view, it's what you're comfortable with working on.
True.
Yeah. I am comfortable, way more comfortable working on a port car.
Yeah.
Because injectors are easy.
Easy. Yeah,
DI cars.
Two bolts. And
yeah, DI cars, it's a little more cumbersome to get the injectors out. And then if you do a high-pressure fuel pump, you're like, well, I'm going to learn how to time this.
Yeah, I got to line this up and shit.
It is different.
It is.
For our customer base.
It is different. And it kind of goes along with everything in society today. It's much harder to repair everything.
Yeah.
So you may have to learn to time your engine, which, in the grand scheme of things, you do it once, you got it.
Yeah.
It's scary. You might have to do it twice.
Or three times.
Some people, you know. But it is scary. It is scary. So that's, you know, I think one of the most...
I love that. Man, let's fucking go.
Yeah. I read that and I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Man, Meekoff in the building.
Oh, man.
I love it. Matt's in here with me, baby. Let's go.
But, man, you know, one of the... Yeah.
Which is true. We've done it easy.
Matt, man, like, that LNF engine, man.
It really
it's
is.
Kind of it's a cheater. Like, and I'm riding on his coattail because it's like the cheater
it
one.
It really is the cheater.
It's so good. And guys, by the way, I do like the LSJ. Like,
we love all of our engines.
We give banter because it's fun for us, and we like to keep up the rivalry a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
That's what makes it fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But, what I was going towards is one of the most underappreciated mods that we came up with on the LNF and then have moved into all of our subsequent platforms is the fuel pump lobe.
Yes.
On the cam, which is... I mean,
that's unnecessary.
It's kind of crazy that, and this is well before my time, we just thought, oh, well, what if you lift that fuel pump lobe more?
Straight magic.
And
Tyler, I'm so mad you didn't get to experience this. Like,
I know.
So direct injection came out, and we buy this LNF Cobalt. We buy this car that's totaled. It's still in the back lot. This car shows up. It's got paint pen all over it. Like, it's wrinkled here. It's wrinkled there. It's wrinkled everywhere. We put, like, a bumper cover on it, and the car was, like, perfect. Wiped off all the marks. So we hand this car to Matt. Matt is our mad scientist of ZZP. Yeah. Like, he is our go-to guy. Like, hey, I have a problem. Go talk to Matt.
Yeah.
So we hand Matt this direct injected car, like the next ZZP platform. And like this MF-er literally had like the cam on a belt sander back
in
the
day. Oh, yeah. The belt sander.
Yep. Like this dude, like, comes up with this idea of belt sanding the cam to play around with the direct injection system. And it worked.
Yep.
It worked. And we couldn't freaking believe what that car did. Like, it was such an experience to be here during that time.
And not even like a good belt sander.
No. It was an old belt sander.
We were so budget back in the day.
Yeah.
This is like...
Was it on the 10-inch wheel? Just like...
This is like 15 years ago, and Matt is just belt sanding cams and just making huge gains in his car.
And we experimented with... different lobe styles. Different number of lobes, and you know, which may have worked, but the control isn't there in the PCM.
Yeah.
But the fact that we were able to gain that much just from that, and replacing the cam is a lot of labor if you're paying someone to do it. But if you're doing it yourself, it's really not that bad. Timing an Ecotec is really easy. Yeah, bench grinder. Exactly.
Even better. Not even a belt sander. So much better. That's so good.
I just want to grab, because these guys are talking about option Bs. Your coolant is not going to return to the option B constantly. It should not. You have that fitting in the hose. That's an air bleed fitting. So you need that in there. It's going to bleed the air off. It's going to pull coolant through, and then the air will bleed off, and then it will be fine. There, you shouldn't be moving fluid back to the option B all the time.
You know what's crazy, anyway, too? I love our customers, but y'all, we are talk, we are lit. We have a topic, and they're like, 300 HVX inserts? What?
Aluminum transpan?
What? Benjamin, email customer service, man. We're not doing stock questions right now, brother.
But yeah, like Matt just said, he installed the intake cam six times that afternoon.
Yeah.
Once you do it once, it
gets easier.
It's always like riding a bike. Mm-hmm. It's just that much easier. Yeah, you time an Ecotec once, it's
I don't think, like, for that one, I think if you keep all like the gear the same, like, you don't even have to, you just kind of pop it off. I don't know. Do you have to?
If you had a locking tool on the gears and the chain.
I think there's a locking tool that got there for.
But, yeah. Someone say 3800.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. But yeah, so let's get into the platforms. Let's
start from the OG, the LNF.
The LNF. Okay. So, fueling, like, in that car, you can go a lot further on your factory fuel than you think. You can make, I'll say, mid-fours. It's fairly doable.
On what?
On 93 on a stock fuel system.
Yeah.
You know, with that, with the right turbo step and all that stuff. It's when you start getting the ethanol and stuff like that, you have to start stroking a high-pressure fuel pump. High-pressure fuel pump. We have two options. We either have our LSJ,
LSJ!
No. LNF stage two cams, or you have our intake cam, which both have that same fuel pump load.
Same exact thing.
You know, as far as that, one's a stock cam with a fuel pump load, one's our, different cam profile with the fuel pump load. Mm-hmm.
No, we are not belt sanding them anymore. We manufacture them in house.
We machine them and get them hardened.
It's a hardened metal treated, so. Lobe.
Matt M says locking tool, smocking tool. Use a can of mother's paws wedge between the phases. What a G. What a G. Perfect.
You just come
on. He locked it himself.
I replaced the tensioner on my 2-2 with a bunch of zip ties on the chain. So, it's fine.
I've done that on my DSM.
It works great.
Yep.
I love it. But yeah, so with this car, so you can use the cans. That would be my first recommendation. Then we have from the Opel cars, the Opel Insignia, mm-hmm. we have the Opel injector because they have a fuel E85 safe O-ring. I have a funny story about that. We found out a story actually on my car when I was a customer. It was, I had a sound coming from my car. I'm like, man, what is that? It was these people. I say, hey guys, I got a weird sound. Can I drop the car? I'm like, yeah, sure, bring it off. At the time, ZZP replaced the engine, replaced everything in the car, and it was still doing this. And I think Tim.
This is like 20 years ago.
Yeah,
like,
it was a long time, guys.
Like, come on, guys. It's 20 years ago.
It was a long time.
We might have went a little overkill on this one.
Yeah, because it was a snowball. You know, we were working together because I want to make sure this is right. We were going to a race event pretty soon. So we replaced the engine, replaced it, and it's still making this noise. So I think it was it? I think you did. I think you pulled the injectors out. And they're like, we've been using the same injectors? It looks like the 85 killed the fucking seal.
This is so embarrassing.
And compression was escaping.
I was the install bay manager at this time. And, like, honestly, like, it sounds ridiculous when you look back at it. The hindsight is, like, 2020. Oh, holy crap. Yep. Like, Ryan's car had this noise that sounded like an exhaust leak.
Yeah, but from the front.
Yeah.
But we didn't
sound an exhaust leak from the front.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you probably already know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
The freaking fuel injectors go into the combustion chamber.
Yeah.
So if you have boom, you have this sound. So his original LNF injectors did not have an E85 safe O-ring on them.
Yep.
It burned out from time,
mm-hmm.
and it became a combustion chamber leak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, guys, I will say combustion leaking out sounds really wild.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds wild. It's like, you're like, what the? It was just holes in my ship.
It sounds like a rod bearing slash exhaust leak. It was bad.
But I drove the car all the way from Chicago back here. So I'm like, it's fine. There's no check engine light. Everything's good.
Yeah. We figured it out. It took us an embarrassing long amount of time, but we figured it out.
But that's how it was. It's trial and error.
That's how we learn.
Like I said, like 15 years ago, like
we. Yeah. It's fine.
Definitely
it's fine.
Know that sound now.
Yep. And then, so on top of that, too, we also have a high-pressure fuel pump upgrade.
Yep.
So with those mods, you're pretty much set for good. Now, I got to admit this part. I don't want to admit this part. For the final part of it, to Tyler's flexing over there, we do have a fifth injector. We just had one. not four. So we just had one, and then we get it.
Just one to rule them all.
Oh, my God.
One big one, though, isn't it?
He's just 60, so it's all right. But yeah, we do that to add the additional fuel for E85 once cars are, kind of over a certain horsepower limit. And it's also for reliability. It does help keep the cylinders clean.
Interesting is, and a lot of people make this mistake, the LNF's stock fuel, low pressure fuel pump is amazing.
Oh, God, it's so good.
It's like one of the best ones GM has ever made. It's incredible.
Snowball still has it. I'm making 600 wheel on low boost all day.
Yep.
TJ. How we fixed that issue with Ryan's Cobalt was we basically put Regal injectors in it, which had the E85 safe O-ring in them.
Yep. Pretty much everything 2011 on is E85 safe for that.
2010s.
The 2010s on.
But they're not, if you have a 2010 LNF, you have the E85 safe seals, but you don't have the 18% larger injectors.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is still worth it to go to
Opus. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, guys, so Matt's telling the story in chat. He said it was actually worse. Ryan ended up with my motor from his black LNF and still had the issue. And he asked what was reused, and it was told nothing by our mechanic at the time. JK, the fuel injectors were reused.
Yep.
Every time. That still
just you'll have that on them big jobs.
Yep.
I mean, and I say hindsight sounds
like, I know, it sounds duh. Awesome, but
the story, it doesn't instill confidence.
Yeah, for sure. But like this,
we have one of those with every platform. Yeah. It's all right.
We have never had that issue ever again.
Exactly.
Ever. Not a single time. I'm happy it's me that had that problem. Because I'm like, it's like, whatever.
I think it's fine to make mistakes and like learn from the mistakes. As long as you do not make that mistake twice.
Again.
Yes.
If you make that mistake twice, you're an idiot. But like, taking a long time to figure something out, like, it's understandable.
Yeah.
Matt says, did I listen to the car and it sounded like a gesture? So I asked where the fuel rod came from, and it's Brandon Posey. Everybody said, it's his old one. So
yeah,
nothing was reused.
And BP definitely does not work here anymore.
Except for that one.
Well,
okay.
That's
okay. Let's avoid name drops.
Yeah.
So,
I waited for the light bulb to go off.
So on the LNF, like I said, the Opals are good for about 20%.
Yep.
The fuel pressure or the fuel pump lobe is 30-ish overstock, right?
Yeah, about that.
Yep. And then obviously the fifth injector can get you a lot farther. But so since you're more experienced with the LNF and what it can make, we're gonna talk about ethanol here because that's really what's gonna push fuel systems.
Yep.
How far on the stock fuel system can you go with any E85?
With any 85, very low. You can do like an E47 in most cases.
On a stock turbo.
On stock turbo, stock injectors.
Tuned, bolt-ons.
E47 is usually as far as you do want to go.
Yep.
Intake cam, you can go like Z57, S257, and go as far as you want.
What most people are going
exactly,
to do.
Yeah.
And you should probably do a timing set anyway, so why not?
Ecotec's the LSJ LNF LCC1 all of them, you guys, our kit is the magic bullet. We've had cars with over the mileage that they recommend doing it with zero issues to the new timing guide. You do that, game over.
You're good.
Literally game over.
Yeah,
so you are good Gucci for that.
And then from there, the fifth injector is a good option if you don't want to get into the engine, or say you just did timing recently, something like that. Low pressure pump, like I said, magical. It's great. You don't have to upgrade it.
Guys, Mike Niz is lying in the chat right now. Please don't pay attention to this last one. He's up flexing, but he's just lying. Mike, you know what? Just to kind of further put Josh in the dirt, I've been ignoring him the whole time. You put up a milk before or after cereal poll to see what people are weirdos or not. Just so you see.
Or you could just silence Josh either way.
I mean, same. Yeah, no one does it. Yeah, I do not love.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
That's so let's move on from LNF onto the LTG, which was our next DI platform. Mm-hmm. Tim, typically, and every car is different, how far can you take the stock fuel system on ethanol with a stock turbo?
About the same as what Ryan said, E47.
E47, yeah. With a flex kit.
There's so many factors. There's so many factors. Temperature, number one. Temperature, number one, is the factor. If it's 85 degrees, you can run full E85 on a stock fuel pump lobe and stock fuel system. No problem.
Yep.
But as soon as it gets like 60 degrees, you're like, and then when it gets below 60 degrees, you better run E47.
Now
I will say too, because I know Matt will, and Tim will, and pretty much everyone here.
Yep.
So I'll be like, oh yeah, it was, my car was on the dyno. It was super hot that day. My car, imagine on a cold day, my car made way more power. How it works.
You're like, wow, we have a weather correction factor.
For yeah. Yeah. So
that is a funny thing to talk about. Like when it comes to dynoing a DI car, the temperature of the day has a big effect on it.
Yeah.
Big effect.
Yeah.
Because your fuel system, you're always fuel system limited. Like pretty much every DI car is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're always running as much ethanol as we can for that car.
Yep.
Like every ZZP race car that we have, like we're running the most ethanol that we can for that car, that weather condition that day.
Mm-hmm.
So on a 90 degree day, your car is not making very much power because it's hot. The dyno is giving you a correction factor and you're allowed to run more ethanol than normal.
Yep.
Now, if that day goes from 90 to 35 degrees, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you have to run like way less ethanol.
Yeah.
And you get in, and now the correction factor is going the opposite way.
The other way.
So,
like TJ just said, the lower the temp for E85 isn't good. It's not necessarily that. It's that the air is more dense.
This is the most simple way to look at it. The colder it is, the more power you make. The more power you make, the more fuel you need.
Yep.
So when it gets cold, you make more power. You need more fuel. If you're fuel limited, problem.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so...
I love it. Matt, direct milk injection, baby. Let's go. We DI in this place. Let's get it, Matt. Heck yeah.
That's good.
Milk injection. Direct milk... Like Jesse at the table, we thank God for direct port nitrous injection. He didn't say port nitrous injection. He said direct. Let's go. Let's go. Matt with the bag. Yo, we got to say that needs to come back later.
Yeah.
Milk injection.
But then on the LTG, it's a little more unfortunate because the low side was not as blessed as the LNF.
Later in the years, the low side is a little better, but especially in the early years, it's...
Yeah.
What's kind of nifty about DI is from what I've experienced, it kind of doesn't matter a ton how much pressure you feed the high pressure pump.
It's still
as long as it's
it.
Getting the fuel
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I ran into this with Randy's car. Like Randy's V Sport made great power, and his fuel pressure. What we were probably getting into the 30s at some point. And like whatever it requires to feed that high pressure pump, it was okay. It all comes down to what your high pressure can support.
The high pressure is like, oh, I have a little bit of fuel.
Give me that. Now
that's the bottle.
It's,
I don't even think it's a bottleneck. It's just...
Now, port injection, holy crap. You crank the fuel pressure. Like, I will have cars making serious power on stock injectors if they let me tune their FSCM. Let's FSCM. Crank that low side pressure up. Well, sorry, it's a PI car, so all we have is one fuel system.
Just the pressure.
Let me crank the fuel pressure up to like 80 PSI. Mm-hmm. And I will make your stock injectors
You're multiplying them.
I'll make your stock injectors make 260.
Well, it's like, crazy. If on an LSJ, your low side starts to tank.
That's it.
It's done.
It's done.
Bad time. And like this guy doesn't get to scan his fuel pressure.
No, it's just if I'm lucky enough to have a gauge, I go, and you back out of the pool.
Yeah. Like, listen, yeah. I made you a thing for the dyno. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it now.
And like how I'm blessed is I get to do like the 1.4s and the later model stuff. Mm-hmm. And like all the like 1.4 and later like LTG stuff, they look at low side, they look at high side, and they have multipliers for all that.
Yeah.
So Tyler runs out of fuel pressure, he's just screwed.
He's like,
when I run out of fuel pressure, the ECM's like, oh, my fuel pressure is down. Let's change delta. My delta injection size is off. I'm gonna crank up my injector duty cycle.
That's kind of like an old car thing. That is true. So that is a limitation of like if the low side goes out. Kind of it. With the DI cards, you kind of do have a second, hey,
yeah,
I'm coming up here. It's
sucking into one thing and then banging.
Banging in the other. Sucking and banging.
Yeah.
All right, so Tyler
knows nothing about injector delta.
No. I have a math chart, and then you go plus, 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 plus. And then if you do another pull and it stays the same, you go, okay, something's not good.
Let me get out this mechanical fuel pressure gauge and see what's happening here.
I make the...
Strap it under the windshield wiper, and you're like, yeah, she's gone!
I make the joke all the time. Like, so Tim's tuning, like, our, you know, torque...
Yeah.
Tim's tuning our torque-based cars, and it's like, you know, the Iron Man thing where he's got like a bunch of screens up in the suit, and then like you go over to Tyler and he's like an abacus, like
it's kind of like that.
The R2, how you doing back there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That fuel pump is just like, I'm holding on for dear life. Give me the ZZP fuel pump rewind. Oh my god.
Yeah. Pretty much, man.
All right, so
anyway. Before we get into the next platform, I just want to take a moment. I love LSJs.
Of course.
I always talk smack about the LSJs.
We always talk smack.
But we had a customer car, Arturo. He's a great dude.
Oh, the Ion's so good.
He's got a really sick Ion. And it made 500 wheel a couple years ago. He wanted some more power, so he brought it back. He had a AM320 and ID1050s. And we made 500, and it was like, at the end. So from there, and this is kind of the LSJ LNF thing, you're at that point where it's like, okay, we're gonna go from regular car to we need to start doing race car stuff.
Yep.
So we did a surge tank, which has three
nice
fuel pumps in it.
Yeah.
So the in-tank canister feeds the surge pump or the surge tank, and then that feeds the rail, and then we went up to ID
1350s, right?
1300s. So you're not talking about a little bit of, oh, let me just put a little bit bigger fuel pump, let me just put a little bit bigger
injectors. Real stuff.
Like it's a really big jump once you get to that point. And similar on the LNF when you're going from that 550 range,
to like the
then you're gonna start.
Yep,
and that's why I say like on the Cobalt for instance, oh, LSJ is way better fuel. So I'm like, if you guys are trying to make 500 to 600 wheel, it's gonna cost the same for both cars in all realism.
Yeah,
it's gonna cost the same because you're gonna need cans. You're gonna need a bunch of fuel system. You like, and one car's gonna need one car's gonna need the other. It's gonna cost you the same.
Yeah,
regardless of what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Ryan K. Two Hellcat pumps in the surge tank, which is a lot of fuel pumps.
That's a lot of fuel pumps.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
I've never seen that many fuel pumps.
That's SpaghettiOs.
But it's pretty sick. So yeah, we made 550 on our new dyno, which probably would have made 600 on the old one. But yeah, it's not like it's easy peasy.
Yeah, it's not just injectors done.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So we're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like we're all stuck at like a lot of people are stuck in YouTube land where it's like, we bought this stock car, and then the next video is like, we've made 1,000 horsepower, and you're like, that's not how that works.
That's not how it works at all.
There's levels.
There are levels. And you're going to go through, on a PI car, you're going to go through so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go from stock injectors to the next size. And then to the next size. And then you're out of fuel pump. So you go to the next biggest fuel pump.
Yep.
And then you're out of that. And then you go to the next size injectors. Yeah. Whereas with DI,
you got one or two upgrades and that's it. You're
going to go a lot farther. But the cars are also designed to go a lot
farther. Exactly. Yeah, so, know. But no, I said that's
a weird one.
So our next one, because Tim's gonna love talking about this one because we were LF3 and LF4. Tim, let's talk about those fuel systems real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, they're frustrating.
But. So guys, for reference, Tim, anytime a customer brings a car to us and we're about to do an install, the very first thing Tim does, the very first thing he says, give me the keys. He will go out there. I didn't do it
and
that
scan
time.
It, yeah.
And go out there, do a pull and scan it. And he says, and usually I'll say 9 times out of 10, like, I can do something with it, but if you want to go further, you're going to need a cam.
Yeah, if you want full power potential, I mean, like I said before, you can ramp your power, which is stupid, but you can ramp your power to where you make your power band extra peaky so you don't have to fuel demand in low RPM. You can definitely do that, but like that sucks. I want to do burnouts. I want to feel the violence.
Yeah.
The LF4 is, holy crap, in full power form, that is a violent engine. It's comparable to the LNF.
Oh yeah, for
even
for
like
sure.
Stock turbos.
Oh yeah,
yeah, like a max effort. Like let's say a full colder intake downpipe LF4 with a fuel pump lobe.
Woo!
Oh my God. Goodness.
That is a mid to low 10 second carb.
Yeah.
If not touching on the nines, if you do some
stuff.
Nine.
Mm-hmm.
650 foot pounds of torque.
Oh yeah, it's nasty.
Mm-hmm. This is like diesel like torque numbers out of this engine. Like ridiculous. But it requires retiming your darn engine with our larger fuel pump lobe.
Yeah.
Well, like we have the cam locking tool.
We do have the cam locking tool.
Yeah, it's still a lot of work. But it is a 3.6 that is making some V8
jam.
Numbers.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
Making V8 numbers.
So, and that's what we do have to realize while we all make fun of stuff. Think about if we were to do this like on a V8 car, that all these cars that comes with more power out of the box. Mm-hmm. The amount of power that these cars are making, think about doubling V8 power. LSJ, LNF, all these other cars, we're doubling or tripling the power.
Yeah.
Doubling and tripling the power on a V8 car, a car that comes out of the box.
Like an LT1, LT4.
With a 400 out of the box, that's like an 800-900 horsepower.
Yeah.
The dudes who are making 900 on an LT1 aren't sitting around going, oh yeah, maybe I should do a little better injector.
Yeah,
they already did it.
They've already done their deal.
Yeah. The LF4 is amazing. That's an amazing engine. You just have to have a blank checkbook.
Yep. So now for doing 85 on an LF4,
Okay.
What? Let's just talk about because we did LTG, we did LNF. What's the next?
All right. All right, so an LF4 and you want to run E85. Oh, boy. All right, to do this properly, I kind of have to sell something that we don't have on the website yet, but we will. We will have it on the website. Aux fuel pump setup, which is basically leave the stock pump in the canister, and we run a second big pump that tees into the line and sends fuel forward. It's not on the website yet.
Oh, we're not talking about that.
That's the low side.
I'm thinking about the low side.
We have the prototype on Randy's car, prototype on my 2-liter ATS, but that will be the kit that we'll sell for the ATSV. So you're adding a second low side pump that is boost activated to crank the fuel pressure up. Boom. Now you have like whatever PSI of fuel pressure under the hood that you want. I run like 85 PSI.
Yeah, mine was stuck at like 80 the entire time. So
yeah.
Perfect.
So like and that is demand only. Mm-hmm. So when you achieve X amount of boost that triggers the solenoid, it kicks the second pump on, boom, you have let's say 85 PSI of fuel pressure under the hood. That's cool. That's still not going to make you that high pressure pump. That high pressure pump can still not support E85.
It can only move so much.
It can only move so much. So you immediately add our low side auxiliary fuel system onto the car, which is basically two injectors into the charge pipes. So now you take the fuel feed line from the tank that's 85 PSI, you split it off, and you run that to two port injectors in the
charge pipes.
And now at this point, E85, no problem.
Yep.
You don't have to scale your power. You can have 100% power all the freaking time.
It is important to mention that on my car, even though I don't have our low side injectors like in the charge pipes yet, we were at 70-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was pretty freaking cold.
And it was 40 degrees outside.
Yeah.
So,
and Randy's car is definitely like a ready for max effort.
Yeah.
V Sport car.
Yeah.
Like with ATS-V turbos on it. So it's and we broke 600.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, it broke 600 wheel on our two-year-old Mustang dyno.
Yeah. So guys, too, just what we have on the site for us. So all these cars are, what's nice is the newer cars are flex fuel capable. So you're getting your flex fuel kit, your fuel cam. We probably recommend doing valve springs. Valve springs are a wear and tear item. Replace them more than
spring.
I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you for reminding me of that. So to run E85 on an ATS-V, you would need a fuel pump lobe to run a mix of E85, but it's not going to support E85 still.
Yeah.
You could potentially, which I don't think we've done it yet, you could potentially run E85 with our aux fuel kit and the stock cam.
Probably.
We do need to do that to prove it.
Yeah.
But like,
it's just one of the combinations that
probably something we could do.
It's not common.
It's not a common, like you probably could. Like sometimes like even on the LNF with a high pressure one, there's a combination where you can do without doing the cam. But it's one of the things that, just to be honest, with DI cars, typically it's a good idea because you're going to need to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And why limit yourself?
Because nobody's gonna stop at E47.
Yeah, no one wants to do
X amount of power. Yeah. We always want
nobody wants to mix. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to mix fuel. I want to just go up to the E85 pump and just stick it in there and pull the trigger and stand there and wait for it to be.
I got a kid. That's how it happened.
Crazy. That is insane.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
I would like to point out. Gross.
Yes.
Great. Anywho.
we do have parts to at least run, and your tuner, usually Tim, he'll tell you in your scans whether or not you can, you know, how much ethanol you can run, because other people kind of don't use flex fuel like it's supposed to be used.
Yeah.
And we do, you know, mm-hmm. Tim, like, we make sure that your flex fuel kit, you can flex
like
from up to this.
Actually flex fuel.
Yeah. Yeah. When people are like, I have a content sensor, and I'm like, oh, cool. Do you like, when you go on road trips, you do 93, and they're like, oh, I don't take this on road trips. And I'm like, why not?
That's the point. So mixing fuel, if you have to do it, you kind of have to do it. The LF4, it's kind of a weird one because again, we've not really dealt with cars out of fuel system right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's in our newer platforms, because even a lot of our cars, you can just put it on and make a lot of power and you're still good. But the LF4, it does make a lot of power for what it is, but it was made after NA car, and like that's what the engine's made it from and all that. But
in the the LTG is pretty similar, really.
Yeah.
I mean, we also sell an aux fuel kit for that, and the same thing applies.
You can
auxiliary fuel pump kit, the secondary pump that I mentioned, like, we're going to sell that for the LTG as well.
Yeah, we kind of have our just standard two injector standard one that comes off the throttle body, which does work. Both of our cars.
The LTG and the LF4 are quite different under the hood, but like our auxiliary fuel pump kit that I mentioned is kind of the same in the back.
Yeah.
If you have an ATS chassis or an ATS-V, like the chassis is the same. It's going to pretty much be the same.
Yep.
Gordon Barclay, HP Tuners, if your car has flex fuel turned on and is flex capable, you can read the ethanol. Like, for instance, our Air Force gauge, which all of us have, right? All of us have an Air Force. If you have a flex fuel kit, your Air Force can read your flex fuel. So,
That's true.
It's something that
it's enabled.
Yeah, we totally get to see how garbage our winter E85 blends.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so bad. Oh, yeah, that's what you're running into
it's
now.
It's not good.
All right, so we're kind of running out of time. LE2s real quick. What do we need to do to run E85 on an LE2?
Nothing! A flex fuel sensor.
And a tune.
Yeah,
that's it. And then so far. You can go on our
Z04.
That makes more power than any turbo on the market for that car. I'll say what I said.
What I love about the LE2 is the LE2, like, it's making pretty darn good power, and yet it maintains amazing gas mileage.
It does.
Yeah.
The LE2 will still get over 30 miles to the gallon on 100% pump E85.
Yep.
That is freaking ridiculous.
Insanity.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this in my head, and I've never spoken to anyone, but I kind of want to take an LE2 and do the drag sonic treatment to it.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any need to, because we still have the fastest quarter mile in it, and it was just a basic bitch ZO4. Like,
you, Tyler, you know, Zoom, the owner of the company, is going to say, do it.
Because I would love to do that.
It's going to have to happen.
Cool. We might have a reason to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we might. So anyway.
So, guys, we're talking about DI here. We got a little banter back and forth. Had a little fun.
Port injection is still king.
Wrong.
DI is still relevant and still required.
It is still relevant.
The Corvette ZR1X still has port injection.
That's like, dude, you know what you do? You do a thing like, well, y'all never did the fast Nürburgring. That's what you're doing to me right now. That's my line. Get out of here.
The end all be all is PIDI.
Now kiss.
69.
Whoa.
Exactly. So everybody's happy.
Yeah.
You know,
you need some DI, you need some PI.
Yep.
So, but bottom line, guys, they're both worth it. Like, it's funny though, Matt is in the chat, and he's wanting to do this, so you may see some in the future. We keep seeing the car guys saying, oh, LNF is limited by fuel system. So he just wants to, like, you know, we're just going to take cars and make a bunch of big power real quick, just like what fuel system limitations. Well, what you've already done, you know, but he just wants to do it again.
A decade ago.
So, all right, guys, Tyler, we're about to get out of here.
We'll catch you next time.
Quickly, what are we doing for the weekend? You, quick, go.
Oh, I don't even know.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know yet.
Too much drinking.
Probably about the same.
I'm going to Chicago to go to the Gundam base because I'm a nerd. I want to go to a bunch of Gundam stores with my friends tomorrow morning. Yes. Gundam is the greatest anime ever. I love it.
Heck yeah.
I thought
you said gun stores. No, dude. No.
Bang, bang, pew, pew.
Dude, I do. I want to learn. I'm just scared because I respect it too much.
Best anime right next to Soul Eater. Anyways.
We'll
fight. All right.
We'll catch you next time.
Go fast, not broke. Thanks for joining us, guys. Peace. March 27th.
Have a good weekend.
Why so long?
Okay, bye.